congratulations on your appointment.
Oh, ngā mihi, Claudette. Tēnā koutou katoa. It's a pleasure being in a wānanga, which is in Māuniwi, Ngāti Awa. So I'm kind of happy to be home in a sense and enjoying the mahi that I've got to do.
Look, it's all about indigeneity. It's all about Māori, isn't it, with Awanui Ārangi and other Māori wānanga as well too. And when we talk about rangahau Māori, we are talking quintessential indigeneity that must inform our learning for the whole of the nation going forward.
We do, but I think Māori have particular needs and aspirations in relation to learning and mātauranga and rangahau. So, you know, Awanui Ārangi's been going nearly 30 years, so that's a whole lot of graduates already and an amazing staff and student body.
So when we talk about rangahau and mātauranga Māori, and in the context of Awanui Ārangi, we do get a sense that that is where we go to learn our stuff by us, for our future generation. Absolutely. It's ours, isn't it?
It is a Māori institution, yes. It's a wānanga. It's one of three that are kind of registered under the Education Act. There are more local wānanga. It's a kind of generic term for many Māori. It's a learning environment. But this is certainly a kind of modern institution that teaches and has, you know, it's accredited and the staff are qualified. So not quite like a traditional wānanga, but it is certainly a pathway for Māori who want to pursue their qualifications that are grounded in āhuatanga and tikanga Māori.
Because I was going to then lead on to, this is our taonga, this is us building our rangahau and reclaiming our rangahau mātauranga for the future. And the reason why I say this is ours, isn't it? This is our taonga for us.
Yeah.
Because my next point will be, of course, is who else can have this taonga? And I guess I'm raising that issue because we've just had Māori Language Week and we've had a whole lot of non-Māori speaking te reo and everybody is, you know, everybody's congratulated all non-Māori for speaking Māori. It does raise the question about ownership.
Yeah. Well, Awanui Ārangi is governed by Māori. Awanui Ārangi is led by Māori. Awanui Ārangi is managed by Māori. Awanui Ārangi has a predominantly Māori staff, and most of Awanui Ārangi students are Māori. Awanui Ārangi doesn't exclude students of other, you know, cultures, but it focuses on the higher education and learning, predominantly of Māori. And that's what it is, and if other people want to join us, that's good. But for the most part, that's not really our, you know, what has driven us. What has driven us first and foremost is an institution for the descendants of Awanui Ārangi who are spread from the far north, the north, you know, down through Taranaki. Many iwi descend from Awanui Ārangi. And then clearly there's the iwi of the Mātātua, and then there are just Māori all over the place who study at the wānanga. So it's very exciting to be here. I'm really enjoying it.
Yes. I just want to just stick on that point around accessibility to our mātauranga. And again, it was an issue that was raised during Māori Language Week. Because we get a sense that if more Pākehā participate in the learning of our rangahau and mātauranga, then it might actually then be influenced by a colonial thought pattern. Very similar to our language, when more Māori learn te reo, it doesn't make them Māori, it just makes them Pākehā who speak Māori. Would you also get a sense that that's how it might be with rangahau and with mātauranga? If you're Pākehā and your ability to, if you're asked to teach rangahau and mātauranga, you're still a Pākehā teaching that.
Yep.
It's not Māori teaching mātauranga.
Yep. So, as you know, my specialty area in research is decolonising methodologies and the importance of parallel decolonising project that goes alongside the revitalisation and regeneration of our reo, tikanga and mātauranga. So I do think, you know, you need a conscious, deliberate decolonising approach and a kaupapa Māori approach. But, you know, Māori are also value. We have values. We value manaakitanga. So I think it's important not to get distracted by, you know, I don't care whether Pākehā like our reo or not like our reo. First and foremost, you know, Māori have to love ourselves. We have to love our identity. We have to love our mātauranga. We have to love our people, because if we don't love those things, then it's just not going to get off the ground at all. So I think, you know, that's what we keep focused on. I know people want to have, you know, all these sideline debates, but I think our work is so urgent. We've got so much to do, and it doesn't matter if, you know, a few others come in and ruin the reel. But the things they have to learn are, it doesn't make them better than a Māori. It doesn't make them a Māori. It doesn't mean, you know, they should sit on the paipai in front of fluent-speaking Māori women and speak for them. You know, those are political issues. Those are power issues. Those are colonial issues. But in terms of being able to speak te reo, look, Pākehā was speaking te reo from the get-go. You know, they had to, that's how they interacted with Māori when they first arrived in the 1820s. In the native school system, Pākehā was speaking te reo. The issue was always one of power. And for me, you know, alongside our revitalisation efforts have to be, there has to be this decolonising approach.
Mm. And again, this is where Awanui-Arangi is able to express and drill down, or just to investigate what that decolonisational process looks like for us in our mātauranga and in our rangahau. That's why it's there.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's so good to have an opportunity to do something that's unfettered by the constraints of mainstream institutions, you know, who kind of, you're always trying to do things in those institutions and having to sort of navigate a way where there's a lot of resistance. I think where I am now and, you know, at Awanui-Arangi, there's this, you know, things are acceptable. There's also a rigorous and robust discussion, you know, about quality, about what's important, about where we're coming from, which I think are important in terms of the integrity of our mātauranga. I mean, it's really important to take it seriously, to really understand it, to understand it's this is not a superficial sort of exercise that's for the next 2-3 years. This is intergenerational.
Can a mātauranga Māori be taught or be, can it be taught well enough, or how we wish to it to be to be delivered while it's in a Parker institution like Auckland University or AUT or Victoria or Waikato or, you know, Tamiya
Academy? Well, it depends who the teacher is and what they do, what their curriculum, you know, is, and where the students are located and situated. You know, ultimately, it's still within the constraints of those institutions, still within their rules and regulations. But I think the same challenges occur for wānanga. You know, all of us have to think quite deeply, you know, around what it is we're teaching, why we're teaching, who's getting access to this, what are our qualifications to teach that. You know, there are some really well-qualified staff at Te Whare Wānanga o Awani Arangi, but this is a kind of, where are we? We're in 2021, and our mātauranga is in this process of being revitalised while we're also trying to transmit it and use it in research. So there's a lot of work that is going on, you know, in the space of mātauranga by good people who are really across Aotearoa. They're in the community, they're in institutions, yep, they're in some mainstream institutions too, but they're committed to this mahi. And I think, you know, like the reo, it's going to require 2, 3, 4 generations of us to get it to a point where it can flourish.
I just want to ask your opinion on, and it is to do with mātauranga, but it's in secondary schools. In NCEA, Chris Hipkins, Minister Chris Hipkins, announced changes to the arts curriculum. One of them was on learning Pākehā reo, or English, through a Māori lens. So it was looking at reo Pākehā from a Māori perspective. I actually hadn't seen that before. I don't know what that looks like. What's your thought on that?
That's intriguing. I don't know what that looks like either. But I know, for example, Māori are great speakers of English. There's a great deal of literature written by Māori in the English language. And, you know, if you drive around or go around Aotearoa, there are lots of different Māori English dialects. You know, I come from the East Coast, Ngāti Porou. The kind of English they speak there is quite unique. And I think that's true of Māori all over the place. So it's an intriguing idea. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it looks like. But, you know, today I bought books by Patricia Gray, Witihi Maera, and Hinemoa Elder. All those writers write in the English language, and their books are amazing. So if that's what they're studying, fantastic. Look at all the film and music. I think Māori have made a great contribution to those areas in English, and now it's time for our people to make those contributions in te reo Māori.
Ka pai. And finally, a win for Awerenui Arangi to have you join them, but also to, it's noticeable, well, it's also, I think it's very important to also acknowledge that Pau Temara is joining you, as well as Alison Green. I think it's notable to also say that all three of you came from Waikato University, and it was the university that had come under the spotlight for systemic racism as well too. So it's their loss and Awanui Arangi's gain.
You can look at it like that. I've always been associated with Awanui Arangi right from its start. And I was actually on the council of Awanui Arangi. So to me, it was an opportunity to do some specific work that I have to do. And Pau Temara, also Professor Pau, or Sir Pau, you know, was once a teacher at Awanui Arangi as well. And Alison was a PhD student at Waikato, very successful in all her work. And in a sense, she's coming home. She's also Ngā Tiawa like me. So it is interesting. That's just how it's happened. And I think we're all excited.